Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Four Pillar Effect. This is your host, Cortez Richardson. As a precursor to the show that you're about to listen to, I just want to say thank you to everybody who is new. I know I have some new listeners because I'm gaining people as we go, which is absolutely beautiful. Anybody who's been spreading the show by word of mouth, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to get prizes, props, and appreciation, please drop by the community page on Facebook. It is the Four Pillar Effect. Effect is with an E. Four is spelled out F-O-U-R. So go ahead and check that out. It is not the business page. The business page is in the works right now. I'm just really busy with school and trying to finish my bachelor's, which that's going to take some time. But anyways, this is about you guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been showing the people who have been engaged in the community a lot of respect and props by, you know, giving them prizes, and hopefully they come through on their word and give me some advertising, because I look at it as I can advertise by paying people who are engaging in my community instead of paying Facebook to advertise to people who don't really even know me or haven't found me and actually went through my podcasts one by one, got to know who I am, got to know what the mission is as far as the Four Pillar Effect. So everybody who is spreading this by word of mouth, thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to give thanks to those people who are getting the word out to their friends. So if you can, get your friends to drop through on Anchor and send me a message at the Four Pillar Effect and tell your name, get them to tell your name, and the person who gets their name mentioned the most, I will definitely hook you up. Just believe me, I will. So God bless. I hope you enjoy the show. This is a very important one about mental health. Everybody, I would like to welcome a special guest on the show today. She is the host of Bow Ties Are Cool. Her name is Amy. How are you doing today, Amy?
I am good. How are you?
I am tired.
I am too. I have a podcast of my own later on today, and so I've been working on that to make it a little more structured, and it probably won't be, but
yeah,
I get the tired part.
It depends on your audience, and I have a great one. So
we don't have one. So
you're on your first episode, and everybody, if you're trying to catch your game early to see how everything grows, I would recommend doing it now, because she's new to it, only one episode in, and she actually has a devoted co-host. So it's better because you're listening to more than just one person, like me, majority of the time. I'm just talking to you guys by myself. But anyways, Amy wanted to talk today about something that I think is very important, which is mental health, or an aspect or two of mental health, which is anxiety and ADHD. And I think a lot of people overlook their mental health, and I know that everybody deals with some level of anxiety. But Amy, can you please elaborate a little bit more as to why you want to talk about anxiety?
It's both of them combined, really, because together they're just best friends, but your worst enemy, kind of, especially as you get older. I was about five or younger, actually, when I was first diagnosed with just inattentiveness. And from that age on, you are kind of feeling like you're at a deficit. So, you know, you get into adulthood, and you still kind of grown up with that feeling your whole life. And, you know, you have like some limitations, and it's not like something to like truly like rock my confidence. You know, I was like aware of it, but like I never became as aware until I like finally took, you know, like Adderall for it because of college and just, you know, and basically, I've always been an anxious person, even as a child. And they are very, like, the comorbidity between the two is very, very high. The likelihood of them occurring together, anxiety and ADHD, or I think they changed it back to ADD. I cannot, they need to just pick a side. But But so, yes, from a very early age, I was diagnosed with ADHD or ADD back at that time. I don't know which one to call it. I'm going to call it ADHD. So the anxiety, you know, I think is because I've just had it always. Just I was more of a shy kid, but then the bigger the group, the more shy I would get. One-on-one, I'm pretty great. But social anxiety and a lot of panic disorder, actually, as well. It's like I collect anxiety disorders. It's crazy. But okay. What you were saying about people, you know, kind of like not wanting to talk about their mental health, you know, I've gone to therapists and I have stories that are just, I don't even want to believe happened, just because it's like one guy made me come in like twice a week. There's nothing wrong with me, but I mean, you got to question those motives, because it was not helping. And my husband was like, this is not helping you. And I was like, I know. And it's really annoying. So, because it was like an hour and a half of trying to fill time, which you start talking about, you know, meaningless stuff, and it just does not help. And then I, you know, a couple years later, I was like, okay, you know, I'll go see someone else. This person was distracted during this, just to, as like a, you know, meet and see if this works out. This person was distracted and it was throwing me, because I was meeting them to talk about, you know, medication management and stuff like that. And basically in the middle of the session, about halfway through, he like jumped up because I didn't have my files with me. He hadn't seen them. So I'm having to describe from 5 years to like, you know, 28. So, and this is several years ago. So, basically, he jumped up and he said, you know, I like to work with happy, upbeat, confident people. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, exactly. That was my thought. And honestly, like I may have anxiety and I may have ADHD. I may be self-deprecating, but I do have the confidence to say, and I did have the confidence to say and argue with him because I knew he was wrong. But it scared me to think, hey, there are people out there who might say that to the right diagnosis and then send them home, which is exactly what he did, but not before making me pay for half of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that something that you think is normal? Like,
no.
With therapists? I mean, like, is it,
with psychiatrists,
the majority of the time for the money?
With psychiatrists, yeah. I've gotten this feeling. Okay. I used to trust... I love psychologists. In fact, you know, I studied a majority of psychology in college, except for then I got really anxious and just overwhelmed, and naturally. But I was six credits shy of both declaring and finishing. But I loved it. I loved it because it helped me understand things. Right. But I think that we don't talk about it enough, and I don't, and honestly, when I say I have panic disorders, it's that fear of having a panic attack. And that for me occurs in times where, you know, I've had a panic attack here before. So the likelihood it's raised. And, you know, I finally just was like, I'm going to just go see a general practitioner for this, because I'm tired of dealing with, you know, all that. So, I mean, like, I'm happy to talk to a psychologist all day long, but, you know, because I feel like it's caring and comforting and that they actually do care. And not to say that all psychiatrists are evil and everything. No, that is not what I'm saying. But
it's just from your experience.
Like, yeah, and my experience is not great. I'm not going to lie. So to find doctors and you know, cause I think talk therapy is great. I think that it's very important because you don't want to bottle that up. But, when it comes to panic disorder, recently I was, in Arizona. I had gone to, ACE Comic Con, and I had a day, So there's a little bit of pressure on that. And I'm by myself. And, like, you know, just I'm never on time for anything, basically. And honestly, I had a full-blown panic attack. Like, and it takes a while to come down from that. And I don't choose to have them. They just happen. And I do.
Is it something that's, like, in your mind that happens actually, that makes you think a certain type of way? Or is it literally just, like, random and it just hits you all of a sudden?
It can be both. It sometimes it can be one or the other, not both. Okay. For me, at least. Basically, what a panic attack is your fight or flight going off, your central mm-hmm. nervous system sending right. off that evolutionary response and telling your body to react in that way. And mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of people will mistake anxiety attacks, panic attacks for dying, for a heart attack, because it feels like that. It feels awful. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. I would not wish wow. it on anybody. And for anybody who has it, I will say that the worst thing you can say to somebody having a panic attack is breathe, because it just makes you feel kind of, it's like, I just, for me personally, I'm sitting there and I know that the thought is sweet and kind and everything, but in the moment I'm already stressed out and, you know, everything's heightened and my mind rationally knows what's going on. So it's very separate. It's mind, body, very separate. Like right. that's why I enjoyed psychology so much. So I was able to kind of understand how it works.
And like, but I mean, if your body is giving you a reaction that like severe, I'm thinking, you know, logically, you know that, you know, okay, I'm just having another panic attack. But at the same time, I would think that at some point, like subconsciously or somewhere on the surface level.
There's subconscious mind, ones and then there's some that come out of nowhere. So.
No. But I'm thinking like the you're saying that they're kind of separated, but I think that anybody's brain, whenever
I'm sure on out, underneath something, like, something triggers it, you know?
Right.
And usually sometimes
I don't mean the trigger. I mean, the fact that you're saying that it's hard, I guess, for you to kind of bring everything back to center.
Oh, it takes a while to shake it off. Like, I mean, yeah, I was very, very lucky to have the contacts of the people running the con who were incredibly sweet to figure out a way to still get me to where, like, what I had purchased to go see. Mm-hmm. And they, if I can give a shout out to them, with Ace Comic Con, which with Stephen Chamis and Garib Chamis, they're amazing and truly do care about you. So
right.
Anyway, I would check them out. But okay. I mean, they arranged everything. Like, they completely understood. And that's not something you find often. A lot of people are just like, oh, get over it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's like as if you can help it. And I'm like, if I could help it, this would not be happening.
Right. I just want to go back to that because I think that you're kind of rapidly thinking as I'm trying to explain my thought process behind it, because I just want to kind of ask you like the more in-depth question.
Sure.
You're saying that you logically you're able to rationalize what's going on in the moment, but do you think that at some point your brain is still on a irrational plane because your body's giving
well I'm upset because it's happening because I'm right. like this is hampering everything right now, you know, like it, if anything it makes me angry, you know, and upset no, that just annoys me. It's like if I give them a look, they'll know what I'm saying, you know. Yeah. You'd have to bleep it out maybe, like yeah. I know you mean well, but just don't say that to say, I'm aware I can't breathe. Like it feels like if you've ever gotten to like ice cold water, you know, your lungs just like feel like weighted down.
Wow.
It's very similar to that. Also, like your scalp will get like white hot like that and then like cool down and then you'll kind of feel like faint. You need water. Like it's you'll feel very displaced, like you could be in a crowd, and you'll feel very like disconnected from everything. There's a lot of things going on because your whole body is telling you to get out of there or you'll freeze up. Like it's dependent on the situation. So
do you think something happened like in your childhood that was traumatic that makes you respond like that around like large groups or anything?
No, well, I've always had, I'm not one for the spotlight. So I really appreciated the 500 person wedding that I got to have. No, I'm grateful for the wedding. I'm grateful to have been married. I've been married almost 9 years. So, but I was trying to tell, you know, my parents like, hey, that might be a bad idea. You know, and the rehearsal, sure enough. And that's when they like finally got it. And the next day, no problem.
Okay.
Everything was fine. But basically.
Wow. So it was a different reaction the second time when you walked on, like through it again?
I was on some medication.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not like ideal. Like, that's not something I don't want to have to be on that. Like, you know, and I know it's like, I know it's like a lack of, it's a, okay, it's called GABA. It's a longer word, but I'm just going to call it GABA. It's a G-A-B-A. You can Google how much longer that word is.
But is it like gabapentin?
No, it's GABA. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's long. I mean, I can look it up. But...
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, GABA.
I'm happy to look it up. It's, hold on. But basically that it's a lack of GABA and it works like a neurotransmitter inside your, body. Mm-hmm. And it's like with any neurotransmitter, but it's not one. So it's not like you can take anything to like, you know, up the GABA amount. And, basically, okay. So, I mean, it's saying it works like a neurotransmitter, but I remember hearing it wasn't one. Maybe it is one, but it's not one that you can take, not like serotonin or like, you know, et cetera. Right. So yeah, it's a, I don't even know how to say that.
that's why I wasn't even trying.
Gamma aminobutyric acid or something. Anyway.
Okay.
It's also kind
attempt.
Of what,
that sounded like a good attempt.
Yeah, but it if you look it up, just GABA all in caps, okay. You can find out a lot about anxiety disorders. And there's a bunch of different types. So that's the fun part.
Okay, wait, whoa! There's different types of anxiety.
Yes, like phobias or let's see. Like test anxiety, I have massive, any sort of deadline anxiety, I get really bad.
I never really even thought about it like that. Like that is crazy to me because when I think anxiety, I just think of something that makes you anxious. But the fact that you
that's general anxiety disorder.
Right, that's pretty much what it is. But you, like when you're saying phobias and you have test anxiety, like I know everybody has anxiety, but I didn't think about it.
Oh,
like,
I mean, anxiety is important to survive. I mean, I'll stand by that. Like mm-hmm. you don't want to have that just taken away. Like you'll be a terrible person. You'll just like not care.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, you wouldn't have it. It's what
you wouldn't really be motivated either. Like at
also,
all.
No, you just wouldn't care.
Right.
Honestly, like for me, and when I bring in like the ADHD, so when I try to focus, if I've got anxiety going on at the same time, it's incredibly hard to do. Ridiculously hard and okay. they work together to make it very, very difficult to focus and to get tasks done. And I've read stuff on it and it's like, you know, those books that try to make you feel better and they do. Mm-hmm. but
no, that makes a lot of sense because when you break it down and you say, anxiety and ADHD are pretty much hand in hand, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Because if you're worrying about something while you're trying to get something done, which the anxiety is like the worrisome part, then of course you're not going to be able to pay attention.
Yeah, any focus ability that you've got is going towards that worry. So.
Damn.
Yeah, it's sucks.
And people, majority of the people who deal with anxiety have just pretty much it's not their fault that they have a hard time.
It's never anybody's fault.
Right, right.
And a lot of people, I feel like from what I've perceived, and I may be perceiving this wrong, and so I don't want to like say that this is what everyone in the world looks and thinks, but there, I know I've encountered certain people who do believe that. And it's impossible for them to understand without having experienced it themselves, though I would never wish that upon them.
Right.
You know, I would never.
Well, you know, and even now that we're talking about this, you're actually the first person who's volunteered to be a co-host on the show and talk about anxiety. I've had people come on here and talk about sleep disorders that they have and a lot.
Oh, I've got that too.
So, but the thing is, though, like quick pro tip from me, I know that I have anxiety. And the way that I, because when I'm late for something, I freak the fuck out. Like,
you can, freeze up?
No, I don't freeze up. I used to when I was younger. I used to. Now I just get like real, like you said, like irritated and pissed off. But I have to like bring it back down.
You want to get like away from, you want your space. Like, you want to like run. You want to get, it's like that fight or flight. Like, you just want to.
Yeah, like you just
like that panic is in response to a perceived threat, not an actual threat. It's the idea of the threat coming into play. It's not actually there, it's the idea that it could.
Right.
And that's where the idea of the trigger comes in.
I feel like the reason I asked is there something traumatic that happened to you?
No.
It's because I feel like with me being late. So I had one of my friends, like one of my really good friends, when I was like 15, 16 years old, he committed suicide. And
oh, I'm so sorry.
It was, I mean, it's okay. I still, you know, get, you know, upset about it. But the thing is in that situation, me and another group of friends, we were all really close. It was a really small group. We always hung out. But this particular friend that ended up taking his own life, we were going to his house. And his parents were like, hey, yeah, y'all should come over here for movie night. We're just going to be sitting around watching a movie. You're more than welcome to come. And me and my other friends are just BS, and we're showing up late. Now, this is before any of this anxiety problems started happening. And so when we go to his house, we just see a bunch of black Suburbans and like tape all the way around the yard and you know, cop cars. I'm just wondering, what the fuck is going on? Next thing I know, you know, I'm trying to call him. He's not picking up. And we see him on the news like the next day. And for me, like ever since then, I take time so seriously. Like I didn't start being late to stuff until I got with my wife, which is cool because to me, I look at it as therapeutic because I do have like this high, I guess they call it a high functioning depression or depression. So pretty much when you have high functioning depression, you seem to be a person who has their things together, who doesn't have like many faults and stuff like that. But the reason you're that type of person, but the reason you're not that person is because you're constantly running away from things by being proactive. Does that make sense?
Not pro. I would say just like, it can be crippling at times. And
right.
I mean, I was prescribed something when I was younger, when I was about 20. And when I brought up serotonin earlier, it was an SSRI, and it was for anxiety. But now I found out just like about 6 months ago, a year ago, that that was like the worst thing you could have given me because it basically erased all anxiety. It worked too well. So it mm-hmm. turned me into this person I didn't recognize. And after that, it really changed me to where I could not go back to the person I was before. And I didn't know who to be after.
Did they try and change the dosage, or were you already?
I was so freaked out by this change in just 8 weeks' time that I literally just got off of it with my doctor knowing and being aware. And basically, you know, it took me like, 33 now, but to finally try a different kind of that for anxiety again. It's the fact that I have different kinds, but the interesting thing is, and I guess this might be the one upside, is okay, at any time I'm supposed to give a speech, like at a friend's like rehearsal dinner, I will get up, and I don't know if you've seen the movie Old School.
No, I haven't.
There's this scene with Will Ferrell and James Carville, and they're debating, and James Carville is just known for winning any debate. He's just very, very good at that. And, okay. You know, Will Ferrell's character is just obviously not built for that. So, right. But then he gives the perfect answer. And then everyone's like, how'd you know that? And he's like, I just blacked out. That's exactly what happens whenever I have to give a speech. And so I had a friend of mine record me giving a speech, and I was like, oh my gosh, because I would like come back into focus and people would be crying, and I'd be like, oh my God, what did I say? And it turns out it was like, you know, flawless. And I was like, why can I be aware when these things happen?
Wow, that's like a new, that to me, that's amazing, because, you know, when you tell me that, my perception of it is that you're operating on a level that's like euphoric. Like
it's terrified.
It's terrified? You're terrified? Like if you're not aware of it, and you're just like,
no, I just don't remember, because I was so scared in the moment that I don't remember.
What? Okay. All right. I didn't catch that.
Because I usually wing it and just speak from the heart. And
right.
So it's just go into it. And, you know, like, that's how much I enjoy, like, public speaking. Not on here. Wow. On here, I'm fine. You know, it's just like all the faces staring back at me. You know, it's a lot.
But you enjoy it.
On here, yes, and as long as it's not like live. Like, I think I tried acting when I was younger, and it was like, nope. I just like it was like live acting, like on in a play, and I was like, no, I'll just do theater tech. I painted the background for Oklahoma, so it's cool. Yeah, I'm proud of that still, obviously. But I mean, I won't lie, you know, it's something that, like, it's aggravating, because, like, you know, I start to think, like, well, you know, like, was it built up in my, like, you start to question kind of, like, is it to the degree that they say it is? So my newest doctor is, like, saying, you're the worst case I've ever seen, which I laugh, because I'm like, I would believe that, because it feels like that. And so, so far, so good. Like, what we've been trying has been working a lot better. And, you know, but I mean, I'm also a highly sensitive person. So I'm just so sensitive that I think a lot, that obviously does not help at all.
Would you say that you overthink things?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like what I do with most of my time. I'm self-deprecating. I do that not out of a lack of confidence. It's because I would rather make fun of myself than other people. So.
No, I don't even think that's even making fun of yourself, because one of the shows that I did, it's like this for me. A statement is just a statement. So exactly. If you hear what I said, that one word just can mess up a lot of people's mindset. So when you say certain things as far as phrases and you add one word to it, it could either make it better, or majority of the time, if you're an overanalyzer, it makes it worse. So if I say, oh, I'm just a podcaster, or you just do podcasts, versus, oh, you do podcasts.
I probably would have said just, excuse me.
Exactly. So I don't think it's you're making fun of yourself. I think that people like you who pay attention, first of all, because you're saying that you have ADHD, but from what I'm realizing is that you pay attention because you're saying you're overly sensitive, but I don't look at that as a bad thing. I think a lot of
I don't think
a lot of people can have a conversation and actually pay attention to little nuances in a conversation, but it could be a bad thing if you do it a little too much. But as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't seem like you honestly have ADHD from a one-on-one perspective.
Oh, I'm on medication right now. That's
okay.
Otherwise I'd be like chasing butterflies right now. So,
so how is it when you get around groups? Like, are you more of like, I just want to talk to one person over here in the corner?
I like to one-on-one. The more people you bring into it, it's like, I start getting quiet and kind of just like, and it depends on how well I know them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I usually can get along with people of really any age, honestly. Except my own children. I'm kidding. they're 2 and 3. So, I mean,
yeah. How are you going to get along?
We get along every other 5 minutes, you know, but, they're cute.
I bet.
But like, you know, they're that age, but yeah. So, I mean, like, honestly, it's I've heard from people that like they used to have it worse, and then as time went on, it got better. So I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. please let that be the case.
Right. I mean, it got better for me. Like I said, I was never really late for anything until me and my wife started dating, and then like as our relationship got a little bit more serious, and it just made me realize, like, after me freaking out, getting upset with her for, you know, pretty much I blamed her for making me late. I just had to realize, like,
my husband does that too. It's okay.
Yeah, but it just made me realize, like, certain things, it's not that important. You know what I mean? It's not the time versus the relationship. I'm going to choose the relationship because that's exactly what I committed to. You know what I mean? So if it's only 15 minutes, then all right, cool, whatever. It's not even going to bother me, even if it's 30 minutes. Now, when it starts approaching like an hour,
yeah,
that's when I start getting irritated. Like, okay, dude, come on, man. Like, I told you.
I'm married to the most patient man alive. And he was patient when I met him, but he's like 50 billion times more patient because of me. Right. Because honestly, I've always been like, when he met me, unfortunately, it was after, like, he never met me before. Like, you know, I took that medicine when I was 20. He met me straight after. So he always has seen me or known me after. So I've always been and presented myself in that way. Like, exactly. And just, you know, he really does care, and just, he's just so patient and just like loving, and just, I'm always and every day appreciative, every minute appreciative of him, you know. And he himself does not feel anxiety and doesn't truly get it, and that's okay, because he doesn't make me feel terrible about it. He didn't make me feel bad about it, and some people do. And you know, like, just suck it up. Like, that's the worst phrase. That's the worst one, as if I can help it. And I think that if anyone listening is had that said to them, do not blame yourselves. This is not something that you chose. If you chose this, then why would you choose that? You know, you wouldn't, is my point. Right. You know, and I honestly, you know, yeah, it's hard to balance like different types of anxiety, because there's like one medication that would cover this and one medication. I don't want to take I would rather take nothing
Trust yeah, you me. Don't want to be sitting around eating Skittles all day, right?
Yeah, it's they're not Skittles, but
I'm kidding. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
Like, I know, I know. Skittles I was just around. Joking.
I mean, but all this is very interesting to me. We're coming up on 30 minutes. Is there anything else that you want to say, like, to the people who are listening who are probably battling with the same kind of thing that you have going on?
I would say get on, like, a message board with people who also suffer from anxiety and talk to people who understand. I find that extremely helpful. Trust me. Like, not someone – like, someone who can – help you through it. Like, that's always been my way of, you know, dealing with it, or just reading up on it, like learning more about it for me, like, and just psychologically was super helpful. You know, I was a lot less hard on myself after that. And, you know, to not be afraid of, like, talk therapy, but to, you know, maybe go the psychologist route. Personally, that's my personal point of my personal opinion for my own reasons, obviously. But I think that, you know, and I mean, if you can even, you know, contact me, I can give out, like, my email for my, you know, podcast or whatever. But I honestly, like, I understand what it is to not to have people misunderstand it.
Right.
And then I also know people who would truly love to understand it. And I'm like, no, you really don't. but, you know, it's tough, but, you know, it's, I think it in a way can make you tougher. It just depends on, like, how you look at it. And, you know, it's always a work in progress, honestly.
Yeah, life is.
Like yes, I think the second you figure out life, you, like, should be done with it. I don't know.
Right.
Like, good to go, check, done.
Yeah, exactly.
Beam me
up. All right, Amy, so we're going to wrap it up. Can you please refresh the people's memory on where they can find you, how they can get in touch with you, and anything else that you want to broadcast, any kind of platforms that you want to give them that they can reach out to you on?
Sure. And thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, basically on this podcast, it's a Bowties Are Cool. It's a Doctor Who, Whovian themed podcast that's about kind of how my co-host, who lives in a totally different state, we've actually never met, but been good friends for several years, but basically almost like pen pals. So you know, over time, like, I suggested it over Christmas break, and, you know, we're like, yeah, let's do that. And so basically we both enjoy that show, and then we also thought it's kind of relates to, once you become an adult, you're like, ah, this is terrible. Why did I want this? Like, kind of, and how do I be a better adult? And, like, you know, how do I enjoy this? Like, you know, like, trying to just make fun of it a little bit and just, you know, bring some humor to it. And, and also relate it back to the show. We're not trying to be like clickbait or anything, but, it's, called bowtiesarecool.com. And, or, like, on Podbean, it's still Bowties Are Cool. And then, on Twitter, it's, Borrowed Blue Box, all one word. And same thing for Instagram is Borrowed Blue Box. So,
okay.
And my email is amy@bowtiesarecool.com. So.